My name's Johnny Kajir. I've been married to my wife, Tori, for 12 years now. We have three beautiful kids. I have a son, his name is Leif. I have a son, his name is Trygva. And then I have a daughter, her name is Kirsti. We are Norwegian, so we have weird names, okay? So everybody just has to be okay with that. My poor daughter, her name Kirsti, is spelled K-J-I-R-S-T-I. So the K-J actually makes a ch sound, right? Except for my last name is spelled K-J-A-E-R, and Americans have butchered it, so we just gone with the Kajir pronunciation, but it's really supposed to be Cheer, so she's going to get her name slaughtered as she grows up, but that's okay. It'll strengthen her and help her. And I grew up in a tiny little town west of Chicago, Illinois, called Sominok. Now, has anybody ever heard of a town called Sominok? Okay, go ahead and write plus 10 on the top of your paper. You just received some bonus points for you this morning, so congratulations on that. But I'm from Sominok, Illinois. It is a humongous town. The city limit signs are on the same post. It's a really nice place to grow up, and so it's good. I serve here at Faith Church as the pastor of student ministries, and I also help out in the counseling program with counseling training, as well as doing some counseling and being able to help with the various teaching opportunities that we have. You know, today we're going to talk about a topic that frankly sometimes is really hard to do, and that's counseling teens, but involving their parents in the process. You see, you kind of get into this place where a teen is trying to get their independence a little bit, and the parents are still parenting as they should be parenting, and so you can get into a little bit of a bind here. How many of you work with teenagers? Are there any youth pastors or youth workers here? Yeah, raise your hand. All right, you work with teenagers, or maybe you get quite a few teens counseling you, or your school teacher, etc. You certainly understand the fact that parents of teens and teens sometimes are a difficult thing to try to balance and to try to figure out how to best help them in those situations. So today we're going to spend some time just talking about how can we involve parents in the counseling process, how can we make things work well in that process. I'm going to do three different case studies with you just to get your brain warmed up a little bit this morning, all right? So here's what you need to do. They aren't written down for you. I'm going to read them to you as if I was presenting them to you in the first day of counseling. And I want you to be ready to answer some questions at the end. So take a little bit of notes if you need to on the side, whatever you need to do to be ready to think through this process and be able to come up with some good answers, all right? Here's the first case. Tom and Sue have brought their son Brian with them to meet with you. By the way, the names, I'm sorry I'm using common names, but I don't feel bad at all. My name is Johnny. For crying out loud, I've been the bad boy in every illustration of every sermon for my entire life, all right? So we'll be okay with this. All right, here we go. Tom and Sue have brought their son Brian with them to meet with you. And here's where we are. Tom says this: Brian is just impossible to have around the house. He never follows any of the rules that we lay out for him. Every single night he plays on his phone after the time he is supposed to put it away, and nothing works anymore. We tried to take his phone away, but he kept on begging us for it and eventually started to borrow other phones to be able to spend time on those phones. His wife Sue then interjected. He also will not do the chores that he's been given to do. He will either do it and not do it well, or he will complain about it the entire time. We've taken all of his privileges away. He's expected to go to school and then straight home to do his chores, then homework, and then bed. I don't understand why he hates us so much that he will not be happy doing what we ask him to do. Brian then responds, "My life is horrible. All that happens is that I work and sleep, and if I do not do that well enough, then I get screamed at by my parents for hours on end. I cannot wait until I'm 18 so I do not have to live like this anymore." Sue, "I cannot wait until you are 18 and then we can finally have some peace in the house." Tom, "We need you to help Brian learn how to respect us as parents so we can have a bit of peace around here. We're so done trying and we need you to step in." Now, I wish I could tell you that I made that up entirely on my own. The problem is, I see this kind of case quite a bit. It shows up a lot. So let me ask you a few questions, and you can just write down the answers to these questions as you want to, and then we'll discuss it maybe even a little bit as a group. First of all, what do you see as the biggest areas that you need to address in order to get this case headed in the right direction? What are the biggest areas that you think you need to address in order to get this case headed in the right direction? Second question, who all needs counseling in this case? And then thirdly, is this hopeless? So what do you think? What do you see as the biggest areas that you need to address in order to get this case headed in the right direction? What do you think? Anybody got any ideas? What are some of the issues that you just noticed that popped out at you from here? Okay, the parents need to be taught the right role of parenting. Okay, good. What else?
Parents got a lot of idols of the heart.
Okay, parents got some idols of the heart. Good. Absolutely. Yeah, if the goal is peace in the home, good luck, right? I mean, that can't be the main goal, right? Okay, those of you that have teens know. Yes. Absolutely. We need to teach them how to communicate. Yeah, there's broken relationships here. What about this? Who all needs counseling in this case? All of them, right? Every single one of them. You just booked yourself with 3 hours a week. They need some help, right? They all need some help in this situation. And of course, this case isn't hopeless. It's not hopeless. God's word, as we begin to apply it, will begin to change the hearts of everybody involved. And then, man, we can walk away from this, that when their son turns 18, he's not necessarily excited to leave the house because he wants to get away from mom and dad, but he's ready to leave the house to go on to what's next because they have trained him and raised him and discipled him. Here's a second one. Now, this one I see sometimes, and maybe you do as well. You're contacted by the local Christian school about a problem child they have in their school. They need you to step in because no matter how many times they contact the parents, nothing is done to help straighten out Jenny's attitude. All right, so you go to meet with Jenny at the school. Now, just a little side note here. You make sure there's another adult in the room because you've read the news in the last several years and you know the folly of trying to tackle the counsel of a teenager of either sex alone in the room. Right? Everybody understands that? You're going to hear me say that kind of phrase a bajillion times this morning as we talk. So we'll get to that. So you sit down and you ask Jenny what is going on. Jenny responds, "Look, I don't need any help. I'm only coming to this because the school said if I don't do this, then I will be expelled from the school." You ask her then, "What do you think is the bigger issue?" She replies, "Everybody has decided that they do not like me, so they have singled me out in order to get rid of me. My parents couldn't handle me, so they sent me to the Christian school so I can learn how to be an upstanding citizen. The school can't handle me, so they sent me to you to help me learn how to behave in a way that's consistent with the standards of conduct expected of students. I don't want to be here, and I highly doubt you want to be here. So let's just meet a few times so the school will back off and my parents won't have to deal with me." All right. These kinds of cases happen as well, right? Okay, so let's talk about this. Do you even have a counseling case here that you can work on? Do you even have a case? She doesn't want to be there, right? So do you have a case? All right, let's think about that. And then, how quickly do you need to actually meet with her parents? How quickly do you need to actually meet with her parents? And then, thirdly, is this case hopeless? Well, of course not, right? So let's work through those questions a little bit. Do you even have a counseling case to work on here? Yes or no? How many of you say yes? Raise your hand. All right? Don't vote just because the person next to you voted. All right, okay, put your hand down. All right. How many of you think you don't have a counseling case here? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Yeah, it's certainly difficult in these situations to know, do I even have a case? Like this, Jenny has obviously presented the fact she doesn't want to be there. Right? Most of the time, we're hoping our counselors are coming to us voluntarily. You're going to discover the more teen cases you do, rarely is that the case. Quite often, it's the parents are sending them or somebody else is sending them to you. But you want a counselee who is walking in the door saying, "I'm ready to change. Please help me change." But in this case, you have a counselee who's walking in the door saying, "I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Let's just get this over with." Now, let me tell you this because I think this is an incredible thing. When I was working on getting my certification for ACBC and I was meeting with my fellow, I had an awesome opportunity because my fellow